always honored to be with you. Some people ask me when I preach in different churches, if I'm regularly preach or pastoring a particular church. I'm not. I'm involved in Christian mission, different connections, and I don't know if freelancer is quite the right word, but I do have a fairly flexible schedule in terms of team responsibilities, and therefore I'm able to be available on short notice oftentimes, as happened this week with Pastor David. Tested positive, and thankfully he seems to be doing okay, but I'm very honored and happy to. Our scripture passage, as noted, is Psalm 19, verses 1 through 6. And out of respect for the Word of God, I invite you to stand if you're here while I read for us and you follow along these verses from Psalm 19. Psalm 19, verses 1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours out speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words, whose voice is not heard. Their voice goes out for all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them he has set a tent for the sun, which comes out like a bridegroom, leaving his chamber, and like a strong man, runs its course with joy. Its rising is from the end of the heavens, and its circuit to the end of them, and there is nothing hidden from its feet. Amen. You may receive. Let's pray and ask God to lead us as we receive this word. God in heaven, we always need your Spirit's instruction, your Spirit's guidance as we hear your word, as we seek to receive and obey your word. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Lord, my God, and my Redeemer. Those last familiar words that I used in the prayer are actually the end of Psalm 19. We're looking at the first half, basically, of Psalm 19 this morning. But Psalm 19 really is all about our living integrated godly lives, which is what we want to do as Jesus followers, right? I mean, we want to be people who with integrity in ways that incorporate all of our lives. We live walk before God, serve him well. We love him. We owe everything to him. And Psalm 19 as a whole is indicates that the purpose of this psalm is really to live concretely every day in godly ways. Toward the end of Psalm 19, I'll just read these verses for you. The psalmist writes, "Who can discern his errors? Declare me innocent from hidden faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me." The psalmist wants to live in a way that's pleasing, and that's what we want to do, right? As followers of Jesus. "Then I shall be blameless and innocent of great transgression." This psalm is about helping us to live concretely from our hearts with integrity before the Lord. Now, Psalm 19 is used often, and understandably so, for its two halves, the first of which we've already read, and the second of which speaks of the written word of God. And Western systematic theologians, rightly understandably so, have seen Psalm 19 speaking first of general revelation, the sun, the moon, the stars, the heavenly bodies, which everyone throughout the world, all throughout history, have been able to see, and these give witness to God's greatness. This is a general revelation that comes to all people. And then from verse 7 forward in Psalm 19, and I'll read these verses for you, we hear of God's special revelation, which he has given to us in the Bible. Beginning at verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned, and keeping them is a great reward. Therefore, study your Bibles, memorize the Word of God, and apply the Word of God to your life. See, that's where the punchline that comes from the preachers and teachers of the Word of God, when children go through vacation Bible school and are compelled, persuaded to memorize the Word of God, it's the Bible that speaks to us, and we need to hide the Word of God in our hearts to live in a way that's pleasing to God. Amen. But Psalm 19 also, to help us live in integrated ways, speaks of the general revelation of God. Being a Christian is not just doing religious things, reading the Bible and praying and being involved in church. It involves all of our lives. And thus, we're focusing this morning on the first part of Psalm 19. Okay? Just look and listen, basically, is what the psalm is saying. God has set these glorious, magnificent witnesses. The first witnesses, really, he gave to the world when he made the world. These heavenly bodies, witnessing to how great he is. Just look and listen. Let's look more closely at these first six verses. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. By the way, I have a PowerPoint prepared to be shown. Do you have access to that? It doesn't appear to you. Do. If there's a way to get that going, no, I was understanding that. Do my best to overcome whatever obstacles we're going to face, but it's okay. It's okay. Okay? Let's just think about these early verses of Psalm 19. The heavens declare the Lord. In the last evening, I was especially happy. I went out while it was dusk. Air was so clear. I mean, we have clear air in this part of the world by and large. I went out at dusk and looked up. It was such a bright, beautiful day yesterday. I looked up, and the moon's about two-thirds full. It wasn't a dark night, brilliant sky per se, but that moon was just screaming out how bright it was. Every morning, there's a new sunrise. Each is unique. I tend to be more of a morning person. I often see the sunrise, the first creeping through of the light of the new morning. Every morning is unique, declaring how great and glorious and magnificent, creative God is. And I've been trying to remind myself over the past several years that these sunrises are the Lord's doing, and they declare God's faithfulness. And I try to say something like, Lord, you've done it again. Every morning, your perfect record is intact. He's the one who brings the sun up. He's the one who makes the dark night to be dark at night. He's the one who brings out the stars and the moon. Cloudy days, yes, and night when we can see it. That's part of how he orchestrates things as well. But it's this living, breathing creation, especially in the nighttime sky, especially in the daytime sky, that screams out, the psalm tells us, the glory of God and his handiwork. His handiwork. The clouds we have in this part of the world. Kathy's parents and sister are in Southern California, and there's beauty to Southern California. They don't have quite the clouds usually that we have around here. These are magnificent. All these things declare God's greatness. Verse 2. Day to day pours out speech. Every day, every morning, night to night reveals knowledge. I'm not sure how many of you have seen a nighttime sky where there's not very much light pollution. It's difficult to find those these days, but the one that is indelibly in my mind's eye was when I was visiting Zimbabwe in Southern Africa some years ago. And there's not quite as much electricity and light pollution anyway in my home. One evening there was a brownout, no electricity. And we went out and we looked up into the sky. Just the roar of twinkling beams of light. They were absolutely screaming out, pouring out speech, revealing knowledge of God's goodness. Now, verse 3 goes on to say, there is no speech, nor are there words. Their voice is not heard. It's not as though you look up into the sky and you see the sun or you see the stars and the moon and you hear words, right? But, verse 4 says, their voice goes out. It's not text, but their voice goes out. It's not audible, but through these senses, through our eyes, into our minds, their voice goes out through all the earth and their words to the end of the world. This magnificent sun is so bright that we can't look at it. The different constellations in the nighttime sky. The changing phases of the moon, magnificent, declaring how great God is. Then, the image that the psalmist used, in them he has set a tent for the sun, which comes out every morning, like a bridegroom leaving his chamber on his wedding day, dressed in all the most magnificent garb he has. Coming across the sky like a strong man running its course with joy, rising from the end of the heavens, its circuit to the end of the earth, nothing hidden from its seat. It's like this bridegroom, this strong man marching across the sky. Now, one temptation we might have is to say, well, that's kind of nice and all that language. Fair enough. We sang the same kind of biblical language earlier, wanting the rivers to clap their hands, the mountains to sing. That's part of what the scriptures do in directing us to realize that this world, this creation that God has made, screams out, declares his creativity. Kathy and I had the privilege, along with our oldest daughter, her two, daughters, 10-year-old twins. We were in the Canadian Rockies. We were in Banff National Park. Anyone here been in Banff National Park? God bless you. I've just changed my home screen photo to Moraine Lake. The beauty of water, of lakes, of mountains, of skies, of only now at this time of year, very small blooms that a month from now will be much more glorious in Banff National Park than the Canadian ones. God has made all of these things. Every snowflake is unique. God is that magnificent, and we are to hear the living, breathing in its own way, creation. Now, we face a couple of obstacles in appreciating the speech, the communication that the sky, in this instance, gives us. One is our scientific worldview. For generations now, most all of us have been trained to view the world within a scientific cosmology. We're hardwired that way. Sure, it's a beautiful sunrise, but it's because the earth is turning on its axis as it rotates around the sun among the other planets. in our particular galaxy. That's why we have sun. And our meteorologists are able to use their scientific tools to predict the weather patterns. Usually they're pretty good. Sometimes they miss it. We know what's going to be. We know we're not having much rain these days. We know what's happening with the wind currents and the cloud patterns and all the rest of our scientific stuff. And so we look with the nighttime sky. We know that these stars, and we think we know where they're coming, they are positioned to each other. We get to light. We know how long it takes to get to light, how it travels, how fast light travels off. We think scientific. Fair enough. Not wanting to diss scientific worldviews. As a friend put it to me once, he's not ready to go back to pre-Enlightenment dentistry. Science is done and continues to do so many magnificent things to help us understand the world, to help us use the world in responsible ways, and all of this. At the same time, we mustn't allow our scientific explanation to do away with the way science leads us to see how creative and great God is. We mustn't allow a scientific mindset and cosmological way of looking to disallow us to hear what the scriptures are telling us that creation is screaming out to us. Now, many of you are much more well studied in this whole arena of science and faith, science and religion than I am. Many other people are a lot smarter than I am. A lot more research than I can offer explanations of how we bring these things together and our understandings of science and faith and all the rest. Main thing that I try to understand is that we mustn't live schizophrenic lives. Oh, I'll be scientific and understand how the world operates most all the time, and I'll do my religious thing too, but not able to bring things together. No, remember Psalm 19 and talking about the heavens is geared towards helping us to live in integrated common ways. As we live in this world, as we hear the world, somehow we need to be able to allow the moon and the stars and the sun to communicate to us that God is so great. He's made the world. He runs the world. He's the one who's causing everything to happen. He's the one who upholds all things by the word of his power. And to hear what creation is telling us. Somehow, even with our scientific world. So that's one barrier and challenge that we face that we need continually to work through as followers of Jesus. Another challenge that we face and this is where we need a little bit of the PowerPoint. But I was going to introduce this through a little video clip. It's actually a movie trailer of a recent movie that came out. It's not a big blockbuster, but it's a movie called Matrix Resurrections. How many of you have seen that particular movie, Matrix Resurrections? Okay, I wouldn't expect that just one or two hands raise souls. How many of you have seen any of the Matrix movies at all? Most of you. So you understand the basic plot line of what's happening in the Matrix movie. Where a computer programmer, Anderson, designs this computer game and this virtual reality, and the whole plot is his being in the reality and in the whole sense of what is virtual reality and what is actual reality gets blurred, and how can you tell the difference? And then when you get to the Matrix Resurrections, and don't run out and try to see it, it's, you know, it's okay, but it just helps to show furthermore that, I mean, is this just all some sort of fantasy virtual depiction of a love story that Neo and Trinity are having? Is that really all this is? Or is it something much more than that? But the whole point of those movies and the whole point of how we live in our day, increasingly so, is that our sensibilities about virtual reality and actual created reality get blurred. Most all of us live with too much, not only screen time, but how we think and see things. You know, we're on this magnificent trip in the Canadian Rockies. And it's so easy to get more enamored with my photo of what it's going to show than with what I'm actually seeing. And none of the photos do justice. I mean, they're important. They're important to get. But and something, I saw a few people on a hike doing this. And those of us who remember, this is not to get into, you know, the old days, it was a whole lot better. I'm not talking about that. But of course, many of us grew up not able to conceive of anything like virtual reality and smartphones and all of that and the internet. Some of us, however, have only grown up with that. And how to distinguish between virtual reality and actual reality, sometimes can become a great challenge for us. Especially with all the new gadgets that keep getting created. All these things you can put on and you're playing golf or you're skydiving or whatever in your living room. The one that I used to play baseball, and one I can't get hold of yet is putting this on and you're practicing, you're taking batting practice. So I don't get how that worked, but all of these lines between virtual and actual are getting blurred. Again, I'm not wanting to diss smartphones. I have one. I'll even go so far as to say that I need one, not just emotionally, but to function in this world. I think most of you function in a similar way to one degree or another. But we have to be careful. And parents with young children and with children who are not so young, I get how this can become, or the laptop or the iPad or whatever it might be, can become a very convenient babysitter when you're absolutely exhausted and have to go to bed or whatever it might be. And how you decide to limit screen time, how you decide what's helpful and constructive and isn't, all that's not always clear, is it? God give us wisdom and help in how we raise children and how we ourselves navigate life in this day and age. And you know, this is a worldwide thing. This is a worldwide thing. Everywhere you go, it's this. Especially on trains and in airports. But everywhere you go. And so it's a tremendous challenge for us to appreciate and use the marvels of electronics and virtual reality, while at the same time hearing the scriptures and appreciating the unique, special value that the actual created witnesses God has given to us. I'm just not trying to be a traditionalist and old school. I'm trying to hear what the scriptures are telling us so that we can appreciate in all of this fullness God's greatness and creativity. And hearing this song with a special focus on the heavens, the stars, the comets, the clouds, the sun, and the moon. Now, I have prepared, I cannot show you, so you'll have to imagine this in your mind's eye. Look it up on your gizmo. You have permission to do it now if you wish, or certainly later. Paintings by Vincent Van Gogh. And there's what is the virtual thing that's going on now? Van Gogh's experience. But Starry Night Over the Rhone, the painting that he did in 1888. And it's this Van Gogh style painting of the night sky over the town of Rome. Now, I don't know how much you know about Van Gogh. I don't know a lot. I researched more to brush up. But, you know, Vincent Van Gogh, raised in Denmark, and his father was a minister, an evangelical minister, raised in a religious home. And Vincent Van Gogh eventually rejected the faith of his father. He rejected religion in general. He rejected the Christian faith in particular as he grew up. But here he paints this night sky over the Rhone. Starting out over the Rhone is the name of that particular painting. And then a few months later, in a letter that he wrote to his brother Theo, he says something to the effect of, I have a book. He says, I have a tremendous need for, shall I say the word, for religion. So I go outside at night to paint the stars. This is a man who had rejected religion. But he needs a sense of something bigger than himself. Eva says, yeah, well, call it religion. I have a need for that. So what do? I go out at night and I paint the stars. It was the next year when he painted the most famous Starry, Starry Night, which resembles Starry Night over the Rome, but has its own special needs. And we look it up again to remind yourself when it looks like Kath and I, in part to celebrate our wedding anniversary back months ago, we went to the Museum of Modern Art in New York City. And the original of Starry, Starry Night was there. And of all the great works of art that are in that museum, it was that painting that had by far the greatest power. There's something so beautiful about that for Van Gogh. Even though he had rejected the Christian faith, it was the starry night that spoke to him. Greatness and goodness of God. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours out speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. No speech, no words. The voice is not heard, but their voice goes out for all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them he has set a tent for the sun, which comes out like a bridegroom, leaving his chamber, and like a strong man, runs its course with joy. Its rising is from the end of the heavens and a circuit to the end of them, and there was nothing hidden from this. Followers of Jesus, to help you live integrated, godly lives, just look and listen. God, you are good. We're grateful for your word. We're grateful for this sacrament, which reinforces the spoken word and the word of your creation. We're grateful. Knowledge of great goodness. This meal